2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, for such turn away." Let's pray. Father God, I pray today, God, as we begin to get back into these character qualities that we do not want. God, there's so many character qualities that we should desire to have in our lives, but God, you've listed this nasty, gross list out right before our eyes and preserved it in the Bible for us to see. Of God, that I pray today that we would use this as a mirror in our lives. God, that you would just bring it to life. And God, if there are any of these be found in us, God, let us repent. Father, God, we need to get this out of our lives. And God, we don't want to be those type of people. We want to be holy like you are holy. And God, we want to represent you in this world that we live in. And there's enough of this. We don't need to be it as well. So God, I pray today that your word would go forth. God, use me, get me out of the way. And Father, you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're only gonna look at a few more. We can't bite all this off in one bite. There's just too many here. It's impossible, and it's gonna take us a few weeks to get through them. The first week we got through four of them, right? The first four, and we looked at for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and we know what that means, right? I love me, I hate you, and I don't care about you, and covetousness, and boasters, and proud. We looked at these, and we spent some time going through those, and today we're gonna look at five more, and with the time that we have, and I know some of this may seem like, geez, just get through this, and that's what I think as I'm preparing this. I'm like, can we just get through this list? But, you know, we don't just pick and choose and skip, and that's why we expositorily preach God's word, because God has something for each and every one of us in here, and maybe somebody here today is struggling with one of these things, right? Because what's going on here is Paul's telling Timothy, right? Timothy's a young pastor there in Ephesus, and Paul's telling Timothy, listen, perilous times are coming, and this is what's going to happen. This is what's taking place, even inside of your church, Timothy. Even those that have crept in, even those that say they're believers, and they're trying to teach false doctrine, and there's bad things going on, and you need to be able to identify those people. So he's challenging Timothy. He's like, listen, those times that are coming, this is what's going to point to that. This is what's going to be. So one thing I've noticed is that as I've studied out this list is that Paul doesn't use the description of the last days as we would picture maybe a preacher would, okay? He doesn't use things like war, famine, recession, disease, political unrest, global warming. Instead, he uses descriptions of people. He uses just character qualities of people, because oftentimes we say, man, and I'm not saying that all that list doesn't point to the end, that we're living in the last days. It does, but we like to take the magnifying glass off of ourselves and say, look what's going on in the world, right? All these wars and the diseases and all of this stuff that's going on, when we don't look at mankind, which is the problem. Right? Sin is the problem. These qualities that are found in men and women all over the world are the problem because of sin. Not the other things are the byproduct of man's sin. War, byproduct of man's sin, right? We can't get along because we just got to fight against each other all the time, right? It's just the list goes on and on. But Paul hits it right on the head here. He's like, Timothy, don't worry about the things that are going on in the world. Look at the men. Look at the women. Look at what's going on. Look at their character. Something that some may see past. Something that someone may say that they don't want. I don't want to admit this because it could be found in me. Paul's pointing out some churchgoers as well, and these are these could be even a part of the church today, right? Because we're living in the same time. It's years and years and years later, right? But the same time that Paul's talking about here. The last days began at the moment of Jesus Christ's resurrection, right? His ascension into heaven, the last days began, and we're living in that time period now. We're living in a time period full of carnal Christians, full of hypocrites. And man, over the past several months, God has given me so many opportunities with some new people that I've met to talk to them about the Lord and to invite them to church. And you know what? It's not about inviting them to the church. It's about inviting them to meet Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with him, right? But sometimes we need to just come to church. Well, you know, one of the number one reasons that people don't come to church is, well, I don't want to be around a bunch of hypocrites, right? I have a bad taste in my mouth because of so-and-so. I have a bad taste in my mouth because I've seen how you churchgoers live and how you act. And that's the testimony that the church has in the lost world. But we, as believers, man, why do we shouldn't identify with that? Because we have power to not identify with that. We have power to say, well, listen, that's not us. Not that New Life Baptist Church is something special, and I'm not saying that it is, but man, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a true relationship, not religion, right? Because that's what the world sees church as, is religion. We're not religious. We have a relationship. So we don't have to be hypocrites. We don't have to be carnal. What does the lost world think about us as Christians? What is the law? Well, okay, so everyone in this room probably knows somebody that's lost. I would venture to say that we all know someone that is lost, right? They're dying, they're going to hell, and God has placed them in our life for a specific reason, right? Not to enable them to go to hell, but to stand in the way of them going to hell, to put up the roadblock and say, listen, we can't make them do anything, but we can be a vessel of honor for God to say, listen, you don't have to do this. You don't have to end up in hell. God desires to have a relationship with you despite who you are because he is so good. And that takes boldness to do that. That takes boldness for it to step into somebody's life and to say that. Are we hypocrites? Not all of us are. Maybe some of us are. But what are we known for? Living like hell? Except for a few hours on Sunday, I hope and pray not. I pray that we don't just turn our light on when we come around each other, right? Because we don't need to be shining. Yes, we need to shine light into each other's lives, but we need to be shining light into the lost world, right? That, man, it's easy to shine my light here because you're the amen crowd, right? But what about those that don't want light, right? The cockroaches that love darkness, that hide in the drawers, that hide in the shadows. Why are we not shining light into their lives, right? Because it takes effort. And it takes us being real. Or maybe it takes us being fake. And it's hard. And we know that we can't do that. Let us not look around and see how wicked the world is that we live in. But look at ourselves and see how much we look like the world. And begin the change today. Okay? God has us in this passage looking at these qualities for us to say, God, let none of these be found in us. God, this is a nasty, disgusting list. And God has us right here today to see this. So we're going to look at five of these today, and we'll get through them as quickly as we can. I just want to just break each one of them down. Just talk about each one. There's not 3 points here. There's 5 qualities that we're going to look at. And the first one is blasphemers, right? We ended on proud that last time. We're going to look at blasphemers, and it's defined to speak of the supreme being in terms of impious irreverence, to speak reproachfully of God or the Holy Spirit, to speak evil of or to utter abuse or calamity against or to speak reproachfully of, okay? So, ever blasphemed God? Ever used his name in vain? Ever thought that he may not be real? Ever doubted him? This is not a character, church, that we want in our lives, but this is a character that is found in many today, and God does not look lightly on it. Chapter 22, verses 63 through 65 says this. It says, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many of other things blasphemously spake they against him. Some of the same group that was just worshiping him as he was rolling in, right? Glorify him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, look at he's coming. Some of that same group now has turned on him. And they're beating him and mocking him and blaspheming him. Church, we're to speak truth. not to just get it blend in with the crowd, and we are to tell people about God, the God that we serve, the God that loves the world despite the sin. He hates sin, but he loves those souls. We need to watch our words, because oftentimes we can speak out of both sides of our mouth. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Don't speak out of both sides of your mouth. Right? When you're with a different crowd, do you talk like them? Do you act like them? Do you blend in with them? Do you blaspheme God because they're doing it? So you can look cool, so you don't get mocked? Or do you stand out and say, listen, y'all, that's not right. And don't partake in that. It's easy to blend in. It's easy to. But before we know it, we're sucked into that crowd. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So where we're engaged with those that are doing this, that are blaspheming God, don't let the corrupt communication, don't let the garbage proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. What is good? Nothing in us, only the word, right? So we put the word in so that it can come out, and we let that proceed out of our mouth, that it may edify and minister grace unto the hearers. That's what we need to be doing. We need to fill them with truth and not the things of this world. In Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what we need to do. So if we're struggling with this, ask God, God, clean me, clean my heart up. Because it's right here. What's in your heart's what's going to come out, okay? So eventually it will. You know, like when you get in a heated argument, okay? Maybe none of you guys argue, especially husbands and wives or mothers and sons or family members. Maybe none of you guys argue, but sometimes I argue. And you know what comes out? Even when you don't want it to, and then you're like, oh, man, you can't take it back. Like, you can't suck it back in. We got to ask God, God, clean my heart up. Clean my heart up. I'm blaspheming you, God. Change me. Renew that spirit within me. The second one, we ought to pull all the kids back in for this one, right? No, because we're right here. So disobedient to parents. This is pretty easy to understand. The Bible is clear that we are to obey our parents. So this one goes against what the world tells them, right? In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. How do we honor our fathers and our mothers? By being obedient to them. Obeying what they say, trusting what they are leading us into and what they're leading us through and telling us the way to go. And children, young adults, youth, parents are not all morons, believe it or not. I thought my parents were morons, right? I did. They don't know anything. They're so ignorant. Gosh, they're so old school. But they've been there and they've done that. And the Bible says to obey them. They just may know what they're talking about. Young children may not think so, but it's just our job, or your job as children, or our job as children, to obey. This will bring honor to them. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is more important is that we please the Lord. And obeying our parents, is when we do that, this will happen. And the key to this verse here is all, okay? That key to Colossians 3:20, in all things. Not just what you want to obey. And guys, this is, God is our Father, okay? He's our earthly, or not our earthly Father, He's our heavenly Father. He's the one that's given us new life. He's the one that's given us a purpose. But how often do we disobey Him? Go our own way. Do our own thing. How often do we do that? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're to obey our Father, believers. Don't kick against what he tells us from the word. Just obey and watch him work in and through us, okay? The world wants us to think otherwise. The world says, you don't need to obey God. You don't need to obey your parents. You don't need to obey anybody. Just do whatever you want to do. Just don't listen. In Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when the world tells us otherwise, says, you don't need to obey what God says, that's not true. Not true at all. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21. Hopefully this is the right one. It says, and if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they had chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out into the elders of the city and unto the gates of his place, and they shall say unto the elder of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, and he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. So guys, spankings aren't so bad anymore, right? When we disobey. Spanking, man, that wasn't so bad. I didn't get stoned to death. Obey your parents. Obey God. The third one's unthankful. Unthankful. And I'm pretty sure that we've all met someone that is just not thankful for anything. Just not thankful for anything. No matter what, they're just not thankful. No matter what they receive or what it is, they're just not thankful. They're just a grouch. And Jesus died for those that were still unthankful. Those that hated him, those that sought to do harm to him, those that did not and still may not believe. They are not thankful for his death yet. But we know that the Bible says that God is not willing that any shall perish, right? But that all shall come to repentance. God does not desire to send people to hell. He desires for all men to repent, to place their faith and trust in him alone, and to have a new life, and to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says that he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That he died for all mankind, right? Those that we think are not, man, there's no way that they'll ever get saved. There's no way they'll ever believe the gospel. They're just so far gone. God says, Jesus Christ died for all, so that they henceforth, they don't want to live, they won't live for themselves anymore, but unto him which died for them. Their life will be changed and they'll have new purpose and new desires. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, my copy and pasting wasn't working so well this week, obviously. So 6:35 says, But love ye your enemies and do good and lend hope for nothing again. And your reward shall be great and you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. It's easy to oftentimes not be thankful. Okay, when we pray, we always, God, thank you, right? It's like almost vain repetition when we pray, okay? And I'm not saying that we're unthankful, but do we truly mean the words that we say? Are we truly thankful for what God has done? Are we truly thankful for what he's doing? Are we truly thankful for what he's going to do? Because if we were, then we wouldn't let situations dictate how our actions roll out when the situation comes into our life, okay? God, I'm thankful that you're going to bring persecution into my life this week. Do you pray that? Probably not, right? But we know, man, we know what persecution does, okay? So can we truly be thankful for that? That's going to take some heart adjustment, okay? The fourth one is unholy. Obviously, the opposite of holy, right? Not too hard to figure that out. The absence of holiness. God is holy, so we're told to be holy as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We know that the world is full of unholy people. We know that it's just loaded with unholy people. We don't have to go very far out the door to find that out. But we as believers need to make sure that we are walking with God. We're being holy to draw others to His holiness. Because our actions speak far louder than our words. They do, no matter what. What we're doing speaks far louder than what we say. How we live our life will speak volumes to those that are around us. Okay, that was a short one. But the fifth one, we're getting where we're going. So number five is without natural affection. Hard-hearted. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's the problem with today, is that sin runs rampant through the world, and even sometimes through us as the church. Ephesians 4, verse, this is a long passage, I want to read this though, 17 through 32, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, quit acting like them, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you've been changed, right? You're not that person anymore. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking evil, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Long passage to say, man, God has changed us. God has taken a hard heart, okay, as a lost person. Our hearts are hard, right? We're self-centered. We're self-driven. We're all about me, 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 right? And then God shatters that, gives us a new heart, a heart that's tender and soft, a heart that can receive His word. It's like a sponge. A heart that can love those that are hard to love. A heart that desires to see people repent and come to the faith in Jesus. The things of the world will do its best to darken the truth that is in you. It will cause blindness to pass upon your heart even. What are we putting in? It will begin to mold you into a worldly vision person again. Not that you're losing your salvation, but man, what we're putting in, the garbage that is out there for us to put into our minds, man, it puts us in reverse, okay? We like go from fifth gear. Have you ever tried to put it in reverse going down the highway? It is awful, right? No matter, you probably can end up getting it there, but you're going to destroy something when you do it. And that's what we do when we begin to slip back into the world. It's like we're trying to put the car in reverse and we're destroying it. Why do we do that? When we know, ooh, okay, if you drive a manual, you know, sometimes you grind the gear a little bit, you're like, ooh, that's not good. And we know, okay, I need to push the clutch in a little better. I need to do the things a little bit different. We don't just automatically start grinding them in. That's just foolishness. That's how foolish we can become when we take God's word out of the equation. I don't need your word right now, God. I've got everything I need right here on my cell phone, on my TV, on whatever it is. I've got everything that can feed me, and we become a monster, and then we can't figure out what's going on in our lives.
So real.
It's right here. This is why we must stay true to His word. We must believe it by faith. Oftentimes, sight is what causes blindness, and that's what will harden our hearts. That makes no sense, does it? Sight is what causes blindness. But it is, because our eyes, man, they lead us astray. Our eyes lead us down a road and into things that we do not belong in, things that we should not be seeing, things that we should not be doing. And then what it does, it blinds the heart. It causes that blindness. Our hearts become hard, causing this quality to be so present in our lives. But yet we point our fingers at someone else. Why do we do that? Why do we not have natural affection? Why can't we love? We should desire to love one another. We should desire to love one another. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47. It says, "You have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." But Jesus says, "I'm crazy, and this is what I'm going to tell you. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain unto the just and unto the unjust." Well, God, you're just plain crazy. You're just plain crazy. You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, love what your enemies are doing. He doesn't say, love your enemies' actions. He says, love your enemies. Love the sinner, not the sin, right? That's what we have to do. But we can't, because we see what they're doing, okay? We see the junkie walking down the street with our eyes, and we're just like, they're too far gone. Blinds our heart, right? Because we see them. We see the state that they're in. And we're like, nope, no hope. Our heart becomes hardened. Instead of seeing that soul that is lost, dying, and going to hell, and our heart be so soft and ready to just, man, to love on that person. Well, they stink. Who cares, right? We should desire to love God. We should desire to love people. You know, Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart," right? "And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path," right? He will direct us. He will direct us. He will get us through what we need to go through. But the world says otherwise. Where's your counsel coming from? What are we trusting in? Who are we going to for answers? I want to look at one passage in Romans chapter 1 as we wrap up. Long, long passage. I came across this as I've been studying this out. Romans chapter 1. You can lay your eyes on this if you want. We got to start in 16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up on uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men and their men, men with men, working with that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who in knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not a new thing, y'all. What we're seeing rolling out in the world today, okay? What we're seeing laid out before our very eyes, the things that are going, the gross sin that surrounds us, is not something new. It's been going on for thousands of years. The reason I started with verse 16 to 17, because this is the world that we live in, right? 18 through 32 is the world that surrounds us every day that we go out into the world, okay? This grossness, this sin, I don't need to define a lot of this for you, but you know what's going on. But verse 16 says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It does not matter this sin that surrounds the whole world, right? It does not matter that it seems as though it's overcoming the world, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's powerful, because it will overcome all of these things if they'll just believe. These people that we're talking about in 2 Timothy, well, some of them were part of the church, and some of them may be having same issues that are going on right here. They knew the truth, but had fallen away from the truth. They were drawn away. They may have been deceived by others. Or they may have been the deceiver trying to deceive others by teaching false doctrine. And we know that was an issue in the church then. We see in verse 21 and 22, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. This is what happens when we don't allow the light of the glorious gospel to shine in our lives anymore. When we close the book, when we say, God, I don't need you anymore. Hearts become darkened. In verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 22 is key here. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. The result of this is found right here, right? They became fools. And that's not a good place to be. Pride lifts us up, and then there's a big crash coming. Paul had listed out these qualities here in Romans. Obviously, there was a pretty big issue. People were struggling. They were without hope, but Christ died for them as well. Desired him to redeem them, just as Christ redeemed you and I. This gross list that we're looking at, church, is a mirror. God's word's a mirror, okay? It's full of truth. But when we look in it, we need to see ourselves, okay? Now, the whole Bible's not written to us. It's all written for us, okay? We need to understand that. So what is God telling us? What does he have for us? What does he have for each and every one of us? Not just for us to preach to others, because, you know, that's the easy part. But we first must make sure that we're lined up and walking correctly with God. Then we can take it to our world.
Yes, sir.
It's much easier to point it out to somebody else. Well, Joe Bob, he is so hard-hearted, right? If you understood what Joe Bob was doing on Wednesdays or whatever, it's easy to do that. That's a whole nother sin. But what happens when we allow it to run through our lives? When God's word runs through our lives, what happens to us? How are we changed? What convictions are brought to our attention? God has us looking here for a reason. We may not like it, right? We may like, this is boring and I don't really care. But we may not even understand what God is telling us right now. But he's revealing something to us. And maybe we're not struggling with some of these now, but maybe we will. Or maybe we know someone that is struggling with them, that we have had victory over those, and we can share that with someone else, okay? Then we can say, listen, this is what God did in my life when I was struggling with whatever. And this is the passage that God brought to my remembrance. This is the book of the Bible that God really got me through that with. This is how God did it. God wants us to change, and He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to reflect His light into the dark, hard-hearted world today. I want to jump ahead as we wrap up. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want us to just lay our eyes on what's coming in verses 10 through 17. It says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in all things, or continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you and I, believer, may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That our temple, right? The temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Our bodies, our beings, that can be complete. We have to allow the Word of God to be profitable in our life, to correct us, to instruct us, to bring righteousness into our lives. The Lord delivered Paul, right? And we know Paul died, right? We're all going to die. We all have an end coming, okay? But Paul, how many times did Paul suffer persecution that he should have died? And God preserved him through that, and He delivered him through that. And Paul understood that, you know what? The worst that can happen to me, y'all, is I can die. Yes. That's the worst. You want to promote me to heaven? Do whatever you want. Lock me up. Guess what? The gospel's still going to get out. I'll share the gospel with the jailers. It don't matter where you put me. Death is the worst that can happen. Verse 14, and we'll be done. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." When these things come, guys, when we're struggling with these bad character qualities in our life, maybe we're struggling, something comes up and our flesh tries to rage out, we need to remember, hey, I need to remember what I've been taught, what I've been assured of. I need to remember that. What have I learned? How have I overcome things? Oh, it's not in my power, it's in God's power. So as we continue to go through this list, there's so many, like I don't remember, I counted them one time, 17 or something. We'll try to bite off some bigger chunks because some of these are easily to understand. So, but just bear with us, guys, because you know what? Somebody that's hearing this needs to understand, man, there's hope. I don't have to act like this. I don't have to be like this. God has a purpose for me, and He wants me to change, and He's showing me this so I can bring it to the surface so that I can get it out. That's what needs to happen. Let's pray.